connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for the
computer today.
Computer.
NetSurfer Pro.
Oh, let me just check my emails and oh, here we go. Dear NetSurfers, why have you not covered Homestar Runner yet? It's one of the most important Flash cartoons in the entire internet history. Sincerely yours, Nobody. Well, Nobody, welcome to NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. Blah, blah, blah. I am your guide, Matt. And with me is, as always and ever will be,
a special guest, Strong Bad.
Wait a minute.
Hello, it's me.
Stormbeard. Right.
I'm Galen.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're talking about Homestar. It's our last episode of January, and such is our last episode of the Flash Janulogy, which has not gotten any easier for me to say. Still feels like wading my way through syrup.
Yes, and it is going to suck when we have to do the Janulogy next year, because we are going to have every January be a Janulogy to Flash.
Are we making that canon?
We're putting it out there, and then we'll see if it sticks. I don't expect it to.
We're doing the joke option select.
Exactly.
We can either be like, it was a real announcement and we were just foreshadowing it this whole time, or we can be like, just a joke.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of to podcasting what, like, implying that a character has a secret but not having any concrete idea what that secret is to storytelling.
Oh yeah, the Abrams method.
Yes.
But instead of weird foreshadowing that might not pay off, we're going to talk about something that is incredibly consistent and self-referential, and also, as I said, is very important to internet culture as a whole.
Yes.
Which is, of course, Homestar Runner, and the greater Homestar brand of series. So I want to go ahead and jump back into the, what was it, the fact corner? Is that what I called it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So, Homestar Runner was created by brothers Mike and Matt Chapman. The name of it came from an in-joke between the Chapmans and their friend James Huggins, where at a Atlanta Braves game, their friend James didn't know anything about baseball and was joking around in a baseball announcer voice and called a player a Homestar Runner for the team, and they thought that was really funny. Then later in 1996... Mike Chapman and their friend Craig Zobel were laughing at bad children's books in a bookstore, and they were joking, like, we could easily make a kid's book better than this. And so they made the original Homestar Runner book, Homestar Runner Goes for the Gold, and that had early designs for Homestar, Pom Pom, The Cheat, and Strong Bad. Then, in 1999, Mike and Matt Chapman began producing Flash cartoons with their characters, and by the 2000s, the site launched. Or sorry, that's by 2000, the year 2000, the site launched. At first, they tried making competitions between Strong Bad and Homestar, like, the focus point, but it wasn't really landing well, so they switched to making cartoons about the time between those competitions, and thus the sort of slice-of-life brand picked up in popularity. In 2003, they grew too popular for their hosting site, which at the time was Yahoo. So at that point, they switched to self-hosting, and their dad, who is like, I think they said their dad is like an accountant or something, recommended they quit their jobs to become full-time animators. And then final just fun fact, Mike Chapman considers the peak of the series to be 2004, when in one day he was given a demo from a They Might Be Giants song from John Linnell and a full-size Tom Servo from the producer of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Since then, I don't have the numbers, but they've done around 180 spemails, however many tunes. They've released two albums of original music, I believe four DVDs of spemails, and I want to say three DVDs of everything else. Titled Everything Else, numerous shirts. They have appeared in other pop culture media, And just, I believe, 2018 or 2019, they released Trogdor the board game. And they are still making cartoons to this day, though not as frequently.
Yes, because if I remember correctly, they actually do... they actually write for kids shows. I want to say that that one of them writes for the Aquabats Super Show. Wrote for it.
Matt Chapman wrote for Yo Gabba Gabba, Aquabats Super Show, and Gravity Falls. And then also the two of them had a short series on Disney XD called Two More Eggs, which was sort of a spiritual successor to Homestar in that it was like completely their style. Which we'll obviously expunge on later.
Yes.
I have a few sort of fun facts for firsts, because this series started in 2000, ran in its sort of, what's the word, like active content till about, I want to say 2010. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. And it still gets content to this day. So it's been going on for about 20 years or so, you know, with or without hiatuses. Or with hiatuses, I should say.
Yeah.
So the first content on the website was the book for Where My Hat Is At, which was just another sort of children's book they made. The first animation they made in Flash was, I don't know, here, let me quiz you. Do you know what this was?
Oh, boy. First animation they made in Flash. The answer is I don't, because I should mention that I did not grow up with like watching Homestar Runner actively. It wasn't before my time or anything. It was just that I was on different corners of the internet because
right.
I was about four when it really started. And then I would have been about like, you know, eight or nine when it really started picking up.
Right.
But I would say that the first is the one where the gang invades Tokyo.
Oh no, that's the end of the series. That's the OVA special.
Dang it.
No, the first one was just a simple animation of Pom Pom bouncing around called First Flash. There's a little bit of trivia. Trivia time. That's the name of Pom Pom's dog. There's more trivia. The first full-length tune was Marshmallow's Last Stand, which has since been removed from the website. The first full-length tune that it still exists is The King of Town, which introduced The King of Town. The first game they released on the website was She Loves Me, a very basic, like, flower petal picking, plucking game. The first holiday tune was Homestar Halloween Party in 2000, which holiday tunes have since become a mainstay. And the first Powered by the Cheat was the Cheat's theme song in 2002. The first Marzipan's answering machine was in 2000. The first Beemail was in 2001. And then I have a few like first appearances of some notable spin-offs or like canonical things.
Yeah.
So like the first instance of Limousine was in 2002 in the Beemail band names. The first instance of Teen Girl Squad was December 2002 with Comic. Trogdor, of course, is from the Beemail Dragon in 2003. And Stinko Man / the 20XD6 universe is in the Beemail Japanese cartoon in 2003. So and that's just a bunch of fun facts, but I kind of wanted to shoot those off at the start to show how much depth there is to the series. Like, or maybe not depth, more like breadth, I guess. There's a lot of content
in the series. I think that one of the things that makes Homestar Runner and the Beemails so timeless is just that, like, in a modern sense, a lot of today's like content, a lot of today's, you know, cartoons are really heavily into the idea of continuity. It used to be Monster of the Week back in sort of the mid-2000s and late 2010 or early 2010s. But with streaming services becoming more popular, continuity became the sort of status quo. And so, like, it's when Homestar Runner started off, it was a lot of one-off jokes that, you know, it would when you would see a callback, it would just be a callback. But to modern sensibilities, that's the sort of thing that, like, you watch the entire series, you binge the entire series in one go for, is that sort of continuing continuity and broadening, like, you know, callbacks and references to their own material.
Right. There's a ton of running gags and, like, small callbacks, like you said. Things like biscuit dough hands man, pouring Mountain Dew on Strong Bad's computer, or putting a Game Boy in a blender, the portrait in Strong Bad's closet, Strong Bad's fondue pot. These all are, like, very, very small things that are constantly brought up again and again. The way I think of it is it's like you get familiar with the series world. It's a sort of immersion in the form of running gags and continuity. Like, it gets to the point where you kind of forget where you first heard about whatever, like, running gag it was. But, you know, it starts to get so ingrained that you feel comfort when you see, like, Stave It Off Guy or Tenerin's Love, because it's something familiar and funny, even though you can't quite put a finger on where it started. And like I said, they do this constantly. I think, like, the most recent Halloween cartoon was just a bunch of references to older stuff in a way that felt like I say the word victory lap a lot, I realize, but like a victory lap. Like, thanks for sticking it out with us.
Yeah, especially because, like, as has been mentioned, like, they were actively updating from 2000 to 2010, but in recent times, it's honestly not too uncommon to get, like, one or two new animations a year.
Yeah. So I want to back up and actually sort of talk about the characters. The setting of the series doesn't really matter. I believe they call it Free Country USA. That's, like, the world they take place in. And there's no real plot. It really depends on what tune or whatever it is. It's very character-driven is what I'm getting at. So I figure we should mention the characters.
Yes.
The titular Homestar So I should mention, by the way, every character in this has a super iconic design. You know, you hear people talk about silhouettes, for, like, having recognizable silhouettes. Every character in this series has a recognizable silhouette and color palette, which is, you know, pretty standard for, like, rules of cartoons, but it's also just very well implemented.
Yeah.
So Homestar is a terrific athlete, as is said in his book description. He has a bit of, like, I don't know, a lisp, almost?
Yeah, it's a...
almost like
it's
a baby voice. And then also, he doesn't have arms, he just has two long legs. Homestar is often depicted as sort of dim-witted or thick-headed, very silly, not super logical all the time. But I think one thing I noticed as, like, during my rewatch of all the Spemales is that Homestar, like, often is more attentive than he seems, and is often more smart than he seems. This is especially apparent in one of the later Spemales, where it's revealed that Homestar has been doing his own Hreemales. But yeah, like, Homestar, he started as the main character, and, like, he's supposed to be, like, a likable character, and I can see that. But I think it's safe to say that he got sort of usurped from the main character role pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because of Strong Bad.
I would like to submit for the courts my running Homestar is a himbo theory.
Yes.
Just in the fact that he is, you know, a generally good guy, very athletic, and not the sharpest tool in the shed, as one might say.
Yes, but he is very affectionate.
Yes.
Strong Bad is the villain, quote unquote, but he's very bad at everything, pretty much. He is kind of rude. He likes metal. He likes, you know, sort of stereotypical, like, cool things that would be cool on the internet in 2000. So I think part of why Strong Bad became so popular is because he's, like, very edgy, but not in a, like, super duper aggressive way. The way I'd put it is, so, like, a lot of, like, flash and internet animations in, you know, 2000s era went out of their way to be crass and vulgar and, like, explicit because they could. You know, nobody was rating them for, like, TV or anything. Whereas Homestar Runner was kind of made to be all ages. So, like, the worst you'll hear Strong Bad say is crap, as far as expletives go. And there's no real mention of, like, sex or anything. It's just smooching ladies. Strong Bad, he loves the ladies. He loves, you know, violence. but he's really bad at actually acting on any of those, so he often just pretends he's way cooler than he is. He also likes a lot of things, like I said, that are cool on the internet, like metal or wrestling.
Yeah, I think it does need to be highlighted. What you just said is that one of the things that makes Homestar Runner and the Speemales and the extended canon so timeless is that while it was produced in that early Flash period of, you know, we can do whatever we want, it was made by people who also had the restraints to, like, want to make whatever they want, but want to make it appeal to more than just, like, edgy teens at the time. It's really clever the ways that, like, the extent that they go to, like, make sure that it is ultimately still a, like, kid-friendly and all-ages series. My favorite joke of which being, of that sort of style, being that there are no beers, there are cold ones.
Yeah, they do that sort of fun stuff.
Yeah, it holds up extremely well.
Yeah, so then there is the rest of the Strong family. There is Strong Sad, who is kind of emo. He's often the, like, punching bag for Strong Bad. But sort of the difference is that Strong Sad usually is better at Strong Bad in most circumstances, with, like, technology, with his hobbies, stuff like that. Strong Sad had a blog for a while that I don't know if you can still access it. I know it's not being updated actively, and they parody that fact in-universe, with, like, Strong Sad telling people not to look at his blog because it's very outdated. Strong Mad is a complete just, like, he's also like Box of Rocks, like Musclehead, even harder to understand than most of the other characters. He's usually kind of like, he's the oldest of the Strong family, and he's usually kind of left alone. He'll join in oftentimes really just when, like, the Cheat wants to do something. And then the Cheat is the Strong family's pet, sort of, but the Cheat also has, like, you know, intelligence and a personality. The Cheat makes cartoons as well called Powered by the Cheat, and he is shown to be more popular with the ladies than Strong Bad is. And the Cheat is often, like, a partner in crime to Strong Bad's antics. Then there is Marzipan, who is Homestar's on-again, off-again girlfriend. Marzipan is better at guitar than Strong Bad. Again, I'm trying to show that Strong Bad is very bad at everything. Marzipan is also the most left-leaning character in the series.
Oh man, are we going to get into the segment of the politics of Homestar Runner?
Not in terms of, like, the creator's politics, but I mean literally her politics. That there's not much to say about Marzipan, unfortunately. She's not super developed, which kind of stands out nowadays. She's the only, like, you know, woman in the series.
Yeah, it's the sort of unfortunate, it's the unfortunate side effect of that period, at the very least, where, like, you know, you're going to assume that you're going to have a mostly male audience, and so when you make a female character, you don't often flesh them out as much, and you don't intentionally do it. It's just sort of the unfortunate byproduct of that period.
I will say that, like, Marzipan is characterized to be very self-actualized, which is good, but yeah, the series does not pass the Bechdel test, which is very unfortunate.
Yes.
It's very mixed for me. But then we have the two final, like, main characters, or I guess three final main characters. There's the King of Town, who's really old and just likes to eat anything. And the fact that he'll eat literally anything is often a key point. There is Coach Z, who is the coach for the sports team that Homestar is on. It's not really sure what sport it is. They've played multiple sports, such as kickball and slapping your belly. Coach Z is mainly just really weird and gross. He, like, lives in his office and showers in the gym showers. He's obsessed with ointments, and notably he has a very odd accent that often makes it hard to tell what he's saying. Like, there's a whole tune called, I think it's just called A Good Job, but the whole thing is about how he pronounces job as Jorb, and they're trying to fix that. So he pronounces things with ors a lot, like the chort or port gorf, stuff like that. He also has a rap career, which is great.
Yes. The part of the silhouette discussion also has to honestly be the voice, just because every character has such a recognizable silhouette, but every recognizable silhouette has such a unique voice. Like, yeah. Doing your best impression of a character from Homestar is in and of itself, honestly, like, such a somewhat common joke in some of my friend groups, is just quoting something, but, like, in the voice of one of them.
Yeah. Homestar is a lot like The Simpsons, where quoting it is like a pastime. It's a common activity in the fan base. And so is just sounding like a character and doing impressions. That's definitely partially because they all have very distinct voices, despite only being voiced by like three people total. Oh yeah, and then the last of the main characters is Bubs, who runs a concession stand, which is just sort of it acts as like a stand-in for any sort of store. Bubs often is shown to be like really shady. He runs black market deals out of his concession stand. He's Strong Bad's internet service provider and just jacks up the prices because Strong Bad doesn't understand technology good enough to realize he's being scammed. Bubs also has superpowers, which is great. He could float off the ground, but he's like, it's deteriorated, so he can only float roughly 5 inches off the ground. Until Strong Bad made him say "spuh," which is his name backwards minus the first B. Anyways, yeah, there's a lot to go over with every character, and there's numerous side characters. There's Limousine, the hair metal band. There's Trogdor, the Burninator, the dragon. There's Stinko Man, the anime parody. You know, those are some that I mentioned earlier, but they're consistent characters that appear multiple times, that have like their own personalities.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the characters. Most of the tunes they're just a mix of kind of everybody. Especially the Halloween tunes make it a point to have everybody. The holiday tunes in general started with the Halloween tunes, and those are probably the most popular because they give every character a new costume every year. So, you know, a character will be dressed up like somebody. And they really take the individual characters' personalities and silhouettes into account. Like, Strong Bad has this big square frame, and so they dressed him up like a Thwomp one year. I'm trying to think of some of the other good ones. Coach Z has, like, a medallion with a Z on it, so one year he was Flavor Flav. Sorry, Flava Flav. So, yeah, it's a...
Or as Coach C might say, Flavor Flav.
Yeah, Flavor Flav. So yeah, that's part of why the Halloween tunes are still being made, is because they have kind of a legacy, and they're some of the more popular ones in general. And then, like I mentioned, there's a few other ones, like Marzipan's Answering Machine, where characters leave messages on Marzipan's Answering Machine. They've done some, like, puppets videos with, like, Homestar puppets. They have Powered by the Cheat, which is its own section of the Cheat's cartoons. I think all of Coach Z's... Wait, not all of Coach Z's music videos are there, but most of them. And then there is Teen Girl Squad, which is a comic made by Strong Bad in-universe of... it's four girls getting killed every episode in ridiculous ways.
Yeah.
Which... Oh, sorry. There. It does pass the Bechdel test if you count Teen Girl Squad. The characters are not very fleshed out on purpose, but they do talk about things other than a man.
They do talk about boys often, but they do often also talk about things that aren't boys.
Yeah. Teen Girl Squad is probably the most, like, fever dreamish of the series. It's just kind of nonstop beat-to-beat jokes or whatever, with kind of just the running joke that they all die in weird ways. It also had a spinoff called Four Gregs, about four Gregs. There's D&D culture Greg, D&D Greg, Japanese culture Greg, open source Greg, and God, how can I forget the other one? There's four of them, though. And they all have nerdy, I think it's like sci-fi culture, Greg, or something. I don't know. But yeah, it's just like the most nerdy guys you can imagine. And then, of course, the most popular series is Spemails, where Strong Bad checks emails. This is really what the website's known for. Strong Bad's by far the most popular character. And there's a lot to go over with Spemails in particular, like the fact that there are like 5 or 6 computers throughout the series that are used because his computers keep blowing up. There's the fact that Spemails, I mean, like, Spemails are so prolific, like, they've appeared in Buffy, or at least Strong Bad's appeared in Buffy. Trogdor and Limousine Song, Because It's Midnight, have appeared in Guitar Hero. And, like, those are specifically because of how popular Spemails are. Let's see. I think we've done most of, like, the like general overview.
Yeah, the I suppose we get into specifics now, basically.
Yeah,
because there's Spemails is such a good series to just sort of like put on a playlist and consistently watch. A lot of the early ones are like a minute, and a lot of the really early ones are honestly like a little bit boring because it's literally just Strong Bad like literally typing out a thing, but it picks up pretty quickly after that. And it's so fun because it takes the like cutaway gag style, but just sort of makes it into something like exceptionally fun and exceptionally like unique.
So the structure of the early ones from about episode 1 to 30 or so is Strong Bad would check his emails, answer an email like by talking directly to the person who sent it, and then that would be it. But somewhere in there they started doing these like cutaways where Strong Bad would mention something and it would show a scene of whatever he's talking about. And I think at about Spemail 41 or so is when they started really committing to the like main structure that's lasted throughout the series, which is he'll start by reading the email, and then there'll be, you know, a solid few minutes of him doing something else while not at the computer, and then it ends with him finishing the email. So it's sort of a structure of, you know, question, then the main sort of cartoon is between the end and the beginning. And by main cartoon, I mean he literally will do anything. There's a lot of jumping around, a lot of, like, time skipping. You know, it's not like it's a consistent, like, one day is the day period of it. It's still sort of him answering in, like, talking to the person sending the email, but it typically is a lot more generally addressed.
Yeah, it's there are some episodes that are sort of, like, direct cutaways where it's, like, you know, I'm thinking of, like, the one that's, like, have you ever thought of doing a kids show? And he's like, oh man, we tried that once. It did not go well. And then it cuts away to him literally doing a kids show. And he's like, where is the cheat? No, the cheat is behind the box. No, he's not even really behind the box. Come on.
He's behind the freaking box. I'll kill you. I'll kill your dogs. Yeah. It's a lot of them are like Strong Bad's take on something. Like, how would Strong Bad make this? So you have things like Candy Bar, where it's the Strong Bad version of a candy bar. Or Mini Golf, where it's the Strong Bad version of mini golf.
Yeah, Stinko Man started as like, a one-off of like that, where it was like, have you ever thought about, you know, Japanese cartoons?
What would you look like in an anime?
Yeah.
And so it's Strong Bad creating his anime Sona. So yeah, and this is a pretty much the style that happens throughout the rest of it. There are still a lot of character driven moments. Some Spemails are more character driven than others when he has to interact with the rest of the town. Even then, you get a lot of interactions with the cheat because the cheat is always, like I said, his like partner in crime.
Yeah.
Strong Bad emails are the sort of genesis for most of the spin-offs and running gags. Like I said, Limousine, Teen Girl Squad, Trogdor, Stinko Man, all of those started in Spemails before they sort of branched out. So like that's another reason why Spemails are so prolific in terms of Homestar Runner is because they spawned most of everything else.
Yeah.
You could almost just watch all the Speemales and kind of know what all the other running gags are so that you can watch anything else on the site. There's a few that don't come from Speemales, other than like the really early stuff, specifically Biscuit Dough Hands Man and
do you mind explaining that briefly, because I have no idea what that is.
Oh, so Biscuit Dough Hands Man was from a tune where they were trying to find a criminal, and it was obviously Strong Bad. And Coach Z was giving like the interview to like the person sketching the criminal. And he said, his hands were big and poofy, like Biscuit Door. And so it's just a sketch of a guy, just like a guy, with hands made of biscuits. And it's like really detailed. So that's what Biscuit Dough Hands Man is. And he appears throughout Speemales in general. But also, he started not in a Speemale. One thing I do want to say is that the Homestar Runner wiki has a super comprehensive everything. Transcripts for the DVD commentary, like lists of goofs and gags, you know, it has appearances and bios for everything, and so forth. So yeah, if you're looking for like specific information, super recommend the wiki. It's one of the best wikis ever made.
Yeah, the Homestar Runner wiki is honestly sort of up there with like I don't know, the Homestuck wiki, where like you can just lose yourself in clicking different links to learn various niche things.
Yeah. So yeah, that's sort of generally how the Speemales go. I have a few I want to mention in particular as I go through sort of my main points. My first main discussion point is that the Speemales often find themselves in parody more than the tunes. And I think there's something really interesting with how the Bros Chaps make parodies, which is also present in Two More Eggs, I should say.
Yeah.
So the way they do parodies is it's an honest parody sort of style where they do a lot of tropes without directly commentating on them, especially like a good example is... Dangerous 3 is the Speemale, where they talk about the movie Dangerous 2, where the whole joke is that Dangerous 2 is like this buddy cop movie that is just filled with buddy cop tropes, but they play it completely straight. Like, nobody comments about how, oh, this is like all those other buddy cop movies. But then also, it also branches into stand-up half the time, where it's Strong Bad commentating on something. So, like, when he does Stinko Man, he says, like, you know, oh, gotta have blue hair. Everybody has blue hair in anime. You know, something like that. Where he will directly commentate on something that is, like, a trope or a cliche. And it bounces between these. So, like, Monster Truck is a good example where he talks about, like, you know, general things, and then he does like the Monster Truck commercial where he goes like, someday adult seats are just $5, kids and teens not allowed, something like that.
Yeah,
where it's like, that's a Speemale of an example where, or that's an example of a Speemale where it goes between honest parody and stand-up parody. And I think this is super interesting because when they do the honest parody style, they also super exaggerate the tropes, but not by, like, making it bigger. They make it weirder. They like to use big words, which is weird to say. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Like when they're when they do the Blubbos, which is the parody of, like, a fast food drive-through, they have the isosceles fish sandwich. It's just a joke on how fish sandwiches are always triangle shaped at like McDonald's, but they have to use, you know, the name of a triangle, name of an angle, really.
Yeah, the one of the like just subtle, not even a recurring joke, but just recurring joke formats is the like saying in 20 words what you could say in 2.
Yeah, it's very weird in that regard. They have like. They have things like the in Senior Card Gauge Mortgage. They have a phone number that's just a very long string of fives. It's like 5555555585555. Very good. So yeah, I think that's super interesting because you usually see sort of either way, you know, it's either commentary directly or like hyper exaggeration or honest parody. You don't see it used both as much, especially in something from the 2000s and especially in something that's interwoven between them as like deftly as Homestar is. I think nowadays honest parodies are a bit more common, but for like 2000, I don't know.
Yeah, 2000 was like the era of low effort parodies. If there's one thing I remember about comedy on like YouTube for that era, it's like parodies of Friday where the joke was it's just Friday but like terrible, you know, parodies of Gangnam Style that were just doing Gangnam Style again. I guess that was 2010s, but yeah.
I think part of it is in Spemales especially, they'll have a good way of like they'll visually indicate when something is commentary and when something is honest parody, because like when it's commentary, Strong Bad won't be visible usually.
Yeah,
he'll be like a third person like voice narrating something, and then most of the time when he's in the scene, it does honest parodies. I say most of the time because like Four Kids, when he does the kids show, is sort of more of a stand-up style commentary.
I do want to also comment on one specific Spemale, which was comic book movies, that is more timeless than like anything else could have possibly been in an era of like post Avengers MCU, where like, because he's making fun of the mid-2000s comic book movies of like just washing out any and all personality and making it really terrible and boring. But like, it's just, even when it kind of misses the mark in a modern sense, it's still absolutely like hilarious.
Something I really like is that most of the pop culture references in the series are from like when the Bros Chaps were growing up. So it's from like the 80s.
Yeah.
So like you'll have, for example, every Spemale has a, on Strong Bad's desk, there is like a floppy disk holder, and every Spemale, it will have a different game written on it, but they're all like these old Commodore 64 games, or just like they have a lot of references to like similar technology related things from the 80s and early 90s, which I think it helps contribute to the timelessness in that it was already dated when it first came out, so it can do nothing but continue to be dated.
Yeah. I know that in one of the Spemales, like he's playing basically a King's Quest type game. I think that is the
Peasant's Quest is the name of the game in the Homestar Runner universe.
Yeah.
It's also kind of justified in universe because Strong Bad's very bad with technology. I mean, let alone the fact that his computer keeps getting blown up. He has written on his monitor with whiteout, thinking that it would either go away or just be a funny gag. He doesn't understand how the internet works, which is why Bubs is able to scam him. He has trouble using a graphic user interface desktop style. Most of the emails are done in like command line form. That's how he like checks his emails. But like when he first uses the cheats computer, which has, you know, a desktop with icons on it, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
That gets me to something I want to say about Strong Bad, which I kind of hinted at this a lot, and by a lot, and by hinted at, I mean directly said, but Strong Bad is very bad at things, but that sort of makes him likable. It's sort of endearing. As much as he brags about, like, getting the ladies and acts cool and stuff, he just kind of fumbles his way through, and the fact that people kind of don't call him out on that just kind of makes it feel like they actually tolerate him more than they let on. Nobody cares when he says he's going to stand on Bubs's concession stand and say he will not drink, blink, or think for 3 days. They just kind of accept it as just Strong Bad doing a thing. And I think that's really good that, like, Strong Bad is, you know, rude and edgy and stuff, but he's ultimately pretty likable because he fails like everyone else. It's the Pixar style. You love your characters because they fail, not because they succeed, or something like that.
It's I don't want to say timeless again, but I'm going to have to say timeless again. It works very well for modern sensibilities where, like, the bad guy is somebody that you will often see redeemed in sort of modern media, where, like, he is ideally the antagonist of the series, but in reality, it's a series that just doesn't have an antagonist most of the time. It's just sort of them all living. And so the fact that his badness is basically just him being kind of a loser.
Yeah.
Is extremely fun, extremely endearing. You're not cheering on someone who actually has, you know, who has actually done anything bad. You're cheering on someone who is obnoxious.
Right.
And that's fun.
And, like, most of the characters in the series seem to at least like him. Everybody participates in the Danger-esque series of movies, which is just, like, home video style. Or, I mean, they clearly at least like him enough to invite him to their Halloween parties. So, like, I think it's really interesting because Strong Bad started as a villain who would, like, cheat to win, but he ended up being just another character with sort of eclectic interests and, you know, kind of tries to be cooler than he is and, you know, tries to put on sort of a facade. It's also interesting because Homestar often one-ups Strong Bad. Like, for example, there is a spiel where Strong Bad is, like, dared to make Homestar say something smart. And so Homestar shows up in, like, a doctor's outfit or something. And then it turns out Homestar was given the same bet, but he had to make Strong Bad say something stupid. And he succeeds. So, like, even then, even though Homestar's kind of dim-witted at times, they really go out of their way to make him still win over Strong Bad. But I think it just plays into sort of the silliness of the series in general. Something we've touched on a bit is that the series is very quotable. Part of that, I'm pretty sure, is because the bros have gone on record to say that they bonded over, like, quoting old TV shows. Like, that was a family pastime for them. And so Homestar Runner is very quotable, and I can't imagine that's any, like, coincidence.
Yeah.
Me and my brother definitely quote Homestar Runner constantly, and so it's worked, at least.
Yeah, no small amount of my friends also just, like, I mean, shit, the techno spemail will just come up every once in a while for no good reason. It's in an era where, like, quoting Vines at your friends is still just sort of a fun pastime while Vine is dead. Like, Homestar Runner and the spemails are so... There's so many just iconic lines, and right. There's so many just one-off jokes and wonderful little intonations. I think Teen Girl Squad 11 or something has, like, Strong Sad saying, like, were you just making out with loose leaf? And it's such a silly twist of the word loose leaf that,
I love in one of the Teen Girl Squads, they go to a summer camp, and it shows the summer camp for boys, and it's just this guy going, I miss video games. Another guy goes, I miss my mom. And the guy goes, I also miss video games and my mom. And it's just one of those very small things that I quote constantly. I think part of it is also that they like to use a lot of, like, odd spellings or pronunciations, not just with characters like Coach Z, whose, like, gimmick is that he mispronunciates things, but, like, characters say things like dag, yo, which is great, or no proballo instead of no problem. It's very loose with language at times in a way that I think only helps the quotability.
Yeah, there's like, I think part of one of the running gags is that Strong Bad will pretty much always mispronounce the, like, the sign-off of a character, of, like, one of his females. So, like, instead of Allison, it's, like, all is one.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones is somebody from Spokane, Washington named Kat sends him an email. And he goes, Kat, Spokane, Wash. and there's a little image of like a kid's book with a character named Anne washing a cat. Speaking of which, the Speemales, so we've gone all this time without really mentioning Flash a whole lot, but yes. Part of what made this so interesting is, for one thing, like the whole site's in Flash. The menus are all interactive. Everybody, I think, who's visited the website knows the following five words. Tunes, games, characters, downloads, email. Those are, Homestar says those on the like main page. And there's, I think, 30 or so different versions of the main page, each with little animations that play when you hover over one of those.
Yeah.
There's also tons of Easter eggs throughout the series. So like every Strong Bad email almost has their own Easter eggs of like words you can click on to get like secret little images or stuff. Or at the end of a Speemale, there might be something you could click on to play a little bit of extra animation. Or like you might be able to wait around a bit to see something else. They really like messed with a lot of different ways to add Easter eggs. And even nowadays, when they release new cartoons on YouTube, they do the thing where it's like a fake coming next or like up next image where it looks like it's about to autoplay some random video and then it plays an Easter egg.
Yeah. That is one of the things that sort of gets lost with Flash is that sort of creativity. How do you replicate that? Like, I guess theoretically you can have the entire website. Like I haven't checked in Flashpoint. Like, I guess theoretically you could just have the entire website interface as a thing, but like, how do you replicate an entire website in Flash, especially when it does so much like fun, creative little things with it?
Right. Yeah. It's like everything was linked together, not in terms of hyperlinks, but like, you know, you could click on different things and it would take you to a different part of the website, or you'll see like little secrets here and there. It really gave me the same feeling of, you know, finding Easter eggs in anything, but especially video games, because it felt like there was a route you had to take to find some of them.
Yeah.
Or like it was finding a specific hidden object that would then take you there. And it was definitely something where I like, when I was little, I really tried to find all of the Easter eggs that I could. And just dug through every bit of the website, because there are a lot of Easter eggs. Like you said, that's something that I don't really know how you would do nowadays. I mean, I'm sure there would be some way. I'm just not sure how.
I don't know if you can like easily convert that to HTML5 or anything like that.
Right. I believe the website now is being run through a Flash emulator on the Homestar Runner website. Let's see. So. A big part of the series is music. Obviously, you have to have music in the background of your cartoons. I mean, you don't have to, but it's nice. But yeah. Even then, there is a lot of music throughout the series. Like, Coach Z raps, Marzipan is a guitarist, and then there's a lot of fake bands and artists. There's, like, Sloshy, which is a lo-fi rock band. Limousine, the aforementioned hair metal band, Tarantula, a more modern metal band. And then there's like PCP, as in Peace Sign YP, who is a rapper, and Tenerence Love, who's an R&B singer, that appear multiple times throughout the series. They've made a lot of original songs with lyrics. Most of them have appeared in Speemales, like The Cheat Is Not Dead or Come On Fahohoa Gods. They have, obviously, like I said, a lot of rap songs featuring Coach Z. And then, as I mentioned earlier, they've released a CD in, I don't remember when it was released, but they had one CD called Strong Bad Sings, which was a collection of songs from the series. And then in 2020, they released the entire original soundtrack, which included both background music and the like all the different original songs they made. Then they also collaborated with They Might Be Giants. I mentioned earlier that Linnell had sent them a demo tape, but also the Bros Chaps made the official music video for the They Might Be Giants song Experimental Film. And yes, that is the official music video. They also animated for a band called YOU. They animated the song L.A. Lindsay. YOU is a band that played Limousine on, like, some live events they did. And then later on, John Linnell would voice the Poopsmith in, I think, the 200th Speemale. The Poopsmith being a character that took a vow of silence until the 200th Speemale. And then, of course, as many people know, even people who haven't heard of Homestar Runner might have heard of it because of Trogdor and Because It's Midnight, the two songs that appeared in the Guitar Hero series.
Yeah.
I think part of what's interesting to me about the series, another thing that's interesting, is that they just cover a lot of different mediums. Like, obviously they have the animations, but they have original songs. They have games, which I only briefly mentioned. I think the most recent, as of this recording, the most recent piece of content they made was level 10 for the Stinko Man video game, which is sort of like a Mega Man style platformer.
Which they specifically, like, made, like, a few months before Flash died, maybe even just a month
before Flash
died.
They released it a few days before Flash died.
Yeah, like, December of 2020, they even make a specific point, like, make a joke about it in the trailer for it, where it's right. Like, you know. But, like, yeah, it's the fact that they continue to support it even with the deadline looming is, it's obviously part of it is a joke, but it's also partly just, you know, the legacy.
Yeah. And then one important game that I really want to mention is Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People. So, I don't know if you remember WiiWare, which was the Wii brand of indie games, but when that started, Telltale Games made a really big push to release a bunch of point-and-click adventure games on it. I believe that's at the time that the Sam & Max reboot was done.
Yes,
and importantly, Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People.
Yeah, Sam & Max, Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People. I think they also, I think that was when the, like, King's Quest, they, like, reboot they put out.
Not King's Quest, it was Monkey Island.
Monkey Island, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
This was developed when Telltale Games still did point-and-click adventure games, and also when Telltale Games was still a thing. It was released in 2008. It's notable because it wasn't solely written by the Bros Chaps, but to me, I personally feel like it's still a very good companion piece. They obviously had a pretty big hand in it, but they didn't write every line of dialogue. There are 5 episodes, which each have, like, their own theme and their own puzzles and whatnot, that all play off the canon in pretty good ways. Like, the first episode is just, you have to ruin Homestar's reputation, which mainly includes making him lose a race, which is sort of like a callback to the original Homestar concept, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
Episode 2 is Strong Baddie of the Brave, where it's a war between different factions, which really highlights some of the notable locations in the series, like Pom Pom's Techno Club. Oh, I forgot to mention one of the best characters, Homestar. I forgot. Homestar is... He spawned because somebody made a typo about Homestar. It was like, I want you to go punch that Homestar guy in the face or whatever. Homestar is, like, if every other character in the series is non sequitur, then Homestar is that to the nth degree. He's like, he only says nonsense. He doesn't obey the laws of physics. He usually appears as an Easter egg in different things. He is notably in the kids' cartoon Speemale. He is the person Strong Bad thinks makes the perfect host for a kids' cartoon.
Yeah.
He has a really hard to mimic voice. But what's great is in Strong Badia the Brave, there is a bit where Strong Bad has to make an ally with Homestar. And what happens is Strong Bad has to learn to speak Homestar's language. And it turns out Homestar has this, like, really deep, mellow, like, wise sage sort of demeanor when Strong Bad's able to speak his language. And then it cuts to Strong Sad's perspective, and Strong Bad is sounding like Homestar and just saying nonsense phrases. It's one of the best jokes in the point and click games, and I just spoiled it, so sorry about that. And then episode 3 is Battle of the Bands, where it's just a battle of the bands, but it references all the different bands and musical stuff. Episode 4 is Dangeresque 3 for real, where they actually film Dangeresque 3. And then episode 5 is 8-Bit is Enough, where it references all the different video games they've made. So it has like Trogdor and Peasant's Quest and Stinko Man and all that.
Yeah.
You can actually still buy the games despite Telltale going under.
Yeah, they're $15 on Steam for season 1. I don't know if there's a season 2.
There isn't.
But yeah, it's a very fun romp, especially because, like, honestly, I could talk for hours about early Telltale, just like the point and click adventure genre that Telltale like tried desperately to keep alive is so fun, and they did such fun things with it.
It still has the sort of point and click adventure game nonsense puzzles every now and then. I think the first game is the worst with this. One thing I really love, though, so there's not really a clear sense of space in Homestar Runner the series. Like every background is just kind of grass and then some like bushes in like a very Mario World-esque way.
Yeah.
But so the way they kind of lampshade this in Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People is when you get a location on your map, you choose where to put it on your map. So it's less like you're going to a physical location with a real map of the place, and more like it's just a menu of options that Strong Bad remembered existed. So it really plays to the sort of ethereal nature of Free Country USA.
Yeah.
The only instance where it doesn't happen like that is in Strong Baddie of the Brave, where it's done on like a board game that they just sharpied in the names of all their countries. And in that case, it's more of just a proxy for them actually fighting.
Yeah. Can I also just say that naming convention, Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People, I have never played the series. I still use that to this day. Like, literally every single reference document for a character that I get a commission of is Blank's Cool Character Reference Document for Attractive People, or some sort of variation thereof. It's just such a beautiful name.
It's very wordy in a memorable way. You know, it's easy to have too many words and it not be memorable. But, like, they're all pretty small words, and it's very in character for Strong Bad to be calling it that.
Yeah.
Calling his game that. It's very fun, and it really conveys the charm of the series by itself.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of other notes. I feel like it's really hard to do sort of a general sweep over the series, more so than what we've done. My only other thing is I have top 10s B-mails.
That's fair. I guess the only general thing that I would say is that Thomas Guy Ridgewell very recently did a video. Thomas Guy Ridgewell is the guy who made Astuff Movie, you would recognize. He's also done a lot of other things, but he was sort of like that early internet sort of age as well. And he made an interesting point, which was that when he started making those things, like when he started making Flash animations, he kind of kept a lot of the like rules from his religious upbringing, where it's like no sex, no real swearing, no drugs,
no rock and roll.
Yeah, no sex, no drugs, no rock and roll. But violence is kind of 100% okay. And it's like I kind of kept that in mind as I was watching this, or rather, like, once I saw that video, it kind of put into perspective the females, where like it's interesting how it is a series for everyone in that era, and it makes a lot more sense with that kind of framing, where like it keeps everything vague. Like it keeps the adult references vague, but it's not even like, you know, Animaniacs like wink to the audience. It's just sort of everything exists in this sort of for everyone blanket, except for like the occasional violence. Teen Squirrel Scott obviously ends with all of them dying, but right. like
it's not gory. Yeah, and it's not really actionable either.
Yeah,
like it's... you can't shove somebody down a garbage disposal. There's no forks driving race cars.
It's nothing that like a kid could recreate in their own home. And I think it just sort of is. I think that kind of lends to the like reason that it is still so fun to go back to is that there's nothing so overt. There's nothing so terribly offensive. It's just, it was created by people who wanted to make something really funny and really accessible.
Right. Except for the fact that there's only, like, one woman in the series.
That's true, yeah.
There is a lot that feels sort of the time. There's one or two spemales that have language that I think nowadays wouldn't be that welcome, but it's also not horrible?
It's the sort of thing where, like, in modern times we would, I want to say, like, in, once again, the children's video, like, I think they say the word midget, which is, like, you know, nowadays we would not use that word, but, like, it's never intentional, and that's always sort of, like, I want to say that intentional or not, that's, you know, never really okay to sort of have that's never really an excuse, but it's more than it's just, oh, it was a different time and we didn't know. It's also that, like, none of the language is ever demeaning anybody because of who they are.
Right. That's or not if the it joke is, itself.
Yeah. Or, like, if it is, it's from, you know, Strong Bad himself. And it's not even, like, something for real life. It's him being a dick to Homestar.
Right. Strong Bad is shown to be rude to people, and he often gets comeuppance for that.
Yeah.
Like, whenever he's rude about Marzipan just existing, Marzipan just tells him to fuck off.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, it does help that there is that context. I do think it is worth, like, if you go back through all of them nowadays... it is worth keeping in mind that this was a series made in the 2000s.
Yeah, the ways you can criticize it, I think, are not like any way, like nothing you can criticize to completely dismiss it. But it's sort of like when you go back to it with a critical eye and look at things like, you know, look for things like the Bechdel test, look for things like how Marzipan doesn't have a whole lot of personality. It's more as like, huh. This is how far we've come than an indictment of the series itself.
Right. Basically, I don't think you should cancel the Bros Chaps.
Yes.
So, my top 10 spemales, I want to quickly go off these. These are all just, like, very solid ones that I come back to frequently. And it's the ones where, like, if somebody says, I've never seen Homestar Runner, I'll probably put on one of these spemales.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one, these are in pretty much order of, like, least to most favorite, but these are all my favorite because there's 180. So, first one, Danger-esque 3. It introduces Danger-esque. It has a lot of great jokes about action movies that I think somebody who's never seen a spemale will at least understand those jokes. It has a lot of, like, solid quotes and catchphrases. Especially because Danger-esque as a whole is a joke about, like, movies with a lot of catchphrases. You also get great action movie names like Uzi Bazooka or Killing You Guy. Next one is Mini Golf, which I love me some Mini Golf. The Mini Golf in Mini Golf is, it plays off a lot of Mini Golf tropes, but also is very surreal in a way that I think fits Mini Golf as a whole. Have I said Mini Golf enough?
Mini Golf.
Next one is webcomics, which is great because it very specifically parodies a few webcomics. It has one that's just, like, a clear parody of, like, Penny Arcade and other gamer roommate comics. I recommend it for people that are aware of webcomics in the 2000s and, like, 2010s. It's probably not as applicable nowadays with, like, Webtoon and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think we've gone beyond the sort of quality level that this spemale is making fun of.
Yeah, I think from a modern times, the most you would like the most you could generally say we know of webcomics is Loss.
Yeah. So next one is Bottom 10, which is just solid all around. It's Strong Bad ranking his least favorite 10 things, which is a setup for a lot of great parody in comedy already, but it has some really wild ideas in it. One of my favorites is songs with too many na-nas, la-las, and doot-doos in the lyrics.
Yeah, watching the bottom 10 and seeing that specific ranking made a lot, like, put into context a lot more of the jokes that you have told me.
Yeah.
Because you quote that one quite a bit.
Yeah. I also quote bottom 10 constantly.
Yeah.
Next one is Crazy Cartoon, the one that we were talking about just a few minutes ago. Oh, wait, no, sorry, that's Four Kids. That's my number eight. Crazy Cartoon is the origin of Sweet Cup and Cakes, which is the very surreal kid show parody. But they also have one of the best Powered by the Cheats, which is another one that's quoted constantly by fans, especially. It's the origin of, I can do it 9 times. It's a great example of what Powered by the Cheat is. It's also very meta. Next one's Bedtime Story, which is another The Cheat-related one, where it's Strong Bad's routine for putting the cheat to sleep, as in, like, Cheat's bedtime routine.
Yeah.
I just really like a lot of the Cheat-centric spemales. They always go out of their way to make Cheat, like, half a kid and half, like, an adult in ways that really clash in clever ways. I said ways twice.
Ways.
Next one is Four Kids, which is the one we talked about a few minutes ago. But it's also one of the hardest ones I've laughed. I still love it as just a solid example because it has the whole bit with Strong Bad being the host. And then when Hamsar is the host, it's also very good. It has it's the origin of Stave It Off Guy, which is a great one-off gag that's also been referenced multiple times. So I guess it's not one-off. Yeah, it's another one that's just solid.
Yeah.
That was my number seven. My number eight is Rock Opera. This one's a little different because it's not really a standalone spemale. It is, I think it's around like the 120 or so. Strong Bad took a word, I say Strong Bad when it's the creators of the series, they took a word from every spemale up to that point and made a song out of it. So it's really fun to listen to it and then go back through every other spemale and like play like the scavenger hunt for finding the words in Rock Opera.
Yeah.
It's very clever. They go through a lot of different musical stylings. Like at one point it's like this piano ballad, and then it switches to like something with more of a synth background. And then it has like this guitar riff. It's very fun. I used to watch it constantly when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Very catchy. Number nine is Virus, which is also one that doesn't stand alone so well, but it is one of the best uses of Flash in general. This is one of the best things they've made because it is so inventive with how it's used. And it only works because the website's made in Flash. The concept is Strong Bad's computer gets a virus, and that infects the website itself. So, the compy's error screen is blue, and then the blue from the error screen leaks out, and then it, like, floods the words at the bottom, which are normally links to the different pages on the website. And then Homestar picks up those words and puts them in the computer. So, like, the link to, like, the main page and the tunes is gone. And then it refreshes itself. And by that, I mean it acts like it's refreshing, but it sends you to, like, a glitched version of the menu. And all the buttons just have, like, weird shit that happens when you click on them. It's super inventive. And I have to recommend you watch it on the website specifically because it's like just part of the whole experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really have to see it for itself. It's a lot more artsy than most spemales because of sort of the concept, but it's very clever. And then the last one, my all-time favorite, is Original. This is one that I think it's not significant to the series. It does have the most fan favorite character, Onion Bubs. The plot, the concept is that it's like Bubs is like a legacy role that multiple people have filled, and they're lamenting the loss of Original Bubs. which was like this really cool, suave, like outgoing guy, as opposed to the shady current Bubs. And so it has like this sort of parody of like a sitcom that's really long running, or like replacing an actor who's known for a role. But they do a lot of really, really great jokes with that. I think my favorite joke in the whole series is in original. I almost don't want to say what it is because it's that good.
Yeah. How about go and watch it now? Go and pause the podcast. Watch it now if you haven't.
Yes.
And then come back.
Okay. The toothpick sculpture joke blew my mind when I first saw it. It has incredible delivery. Like, the whole idea that, like, they're going through all these things that Bubs could be hiding behind. Like, a refrigerator box, a washing machine, and then a toothpick sculpture. Like, they went with the nuclear option as the third one. Just, like, something that you cannot by any means hide behind.
Yeah.
It's not, like, a popsicle sculpture. It's not... It's, like, the most thin object you can make a sculpture out of. And then Homestar says it in a way that's, like, he's sad. He's, like, really desperately trying to act like Bubs is hiding behind it. It's... There's so much emotion in his delivery, and it's... That's why it's my favorite joke, and that's part of why it's my favorite Spemail.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's pretty often overlooked, other than Onion Bubs, but I think it deserves to be in sort of the popular canon. You know, a lot of the ones that people like or, like, are popular are the ones that have, like, the origin of long-running things. You know, things like Dragon, which was the origin of Trogdor. I think that was, like, the viral hit as well.
Yeah.
I tried to avoid most of those, except for, like, Dangeresque 3, because I feel like I wanted to specifically shout out some of the ones that don't get as much, like, outside media attention. But really, like, all of them are good.
Yeah.
Except maybe the first 10.
Yeah. I think that... There's a YouTube playlist that's just sort of all of them, if you want to go that route, because,
they're missing a lot of the ones after 150 or so, or 140. They just haven't uploaded them to YouTube, I mean. But all of the ones before 140 are in the playlist as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great autoplay material. I've met people that will just put on, like, Futurama or something like that, when there's, like, nothing else going on or when people are over, just as something that's background music or background noise, but also can be watched and laughed at. Spemails work pretty well in that realm.
Yeah. They're the flash equivalent of, like, an animated fireplace.
Yeah.
Something very fun to have in the background.
But you can also pay attention to it.
Yeah.
I haven't met anybody who's paid attention to an animated fireplace.
Well, you haven't met me then.
Ooh.
My favorite part is the 248th crackle.
I'm actually trying to think if there's been any ARGs with animated fireplaces. And with that, I don't have any other notes on the series. Like I said, it's very hard to cover all of Homestar Runner.
Yeah. It's... I think it's the perfect note to end the Janulogy on, because it's something so intrinsic to Flash. And, I mean, they currently do have means of, like, keeping it alive and replicating it. But without archival interest, so much is lost from, I mean, culture as a whole, basically.
Yeah, like, it's... Homestar Runner, like I said, bled into, like, TV and music and video games. I should mention that there was an episode of the Aquabat Super Show that had a character that looked like, or just like, Strong Bad.
Wasn't that played by
Matt Chapman? It was played by Matt Chapman, yes.
Yeah.
And then also, just, like, as a whole, Homestar Runner was a mainstay of the internet. I mean... They had to host their own website, you know, to be able to withstand the traffic. And even then, they were, like, some of the earliest people to make a career out of Flash animation.
Yeah.
Again, they quit their jobs to produce Flash animation full time. And they, like, sold merch and everything. Like, they were, I would say, pioneers of the medium, or, like, the market. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to state exactly how vast or like how significant Homestar Runner is, but I hope we've been able to do that.
Yeah. With that, we can start this Viking funeral for Flash, get it loaded up onto a boat and get some lighter fluid. It's dead and we'll never have it again.
I would play Taps, but I always get it mixed up with Kakariko Village. All right, goodbye.
At my funeral, I want somebody to start Taps and then just sort of slowly go into Ocarina of Time music.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back with our, well, listening. We'll be back with our regularly scheduled random topic next week.
Right. You can follow us on social media at NetSurferPro on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at MattCraigGaming. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/twack. I stream on most Monday, Wednesday, Fridays from around 1 p.m. Central Time to 3 or 4 p.m. Central Time. I stream a lot of different games. Recently, I've been playing through the Hitman World of Assassination trilogy and trying to do it without getting caught. So far, fairly good. If you're interested in that, check that out. I also make YouTube videos at youtube.com/IEatAtSonic. IEATSONIC. I make video essays. I've been doing a series on the video game The Witness. And pretty soon I'll have a video on Paradise Killer up on that channel. Nice.
You can follow me on Twitter at Galen Wilson, GalenWilson0N. You can follow me on Twitch at Machine Gun Vampire. I don't stream yet or anything, so probably wait until I start doing that. You can also probably find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube. That is the channel name. I, once again, don't have anything uploaded, but, you know, might someday. But with that, thank you very much for listening.
See ya.